Nazir Perek Aleph Mishnah, base 1-2. The Mishnah now starts out by talking about what happens if a person tries to become a partial Nazir. He wants to take on some of the restrictions of Naziris, but not all of them. Is that effective? So the answer is going to be no, it's not effective. If a person says, for example, the first case of the Mishnah is, Hareini Nazir min hachartzanim. I'm a Nazir, but only from grape seeds, not other aspects of Naziris. So the Mishnah is going to say, no, it's not effective. Meaning, he's a Nazir through and through, and all the aspects of Naziris, and not just with respect to grape seeds. So the reason for this is based on a limud. This is actually learned out from the fact that when the Torah talks about the Nazir, so at first it says that he is miyayin v'shecher yazir, he can't, let's call it, have wine. But then the pasuk goes on to say, mikol esher ya'ase migefen hayayin, he can't partake of anything that comes from the, I'll call it grapevine, but clearly from the pasuk in Hebrew, megefen hayayin, it's like the wine vine. So the fact is, the bottom line is that the pasuk is saying that he can't have wine twice. Why? Does it have to mention that he can't have miyayin v'sheicher yazir, if anyways it says he can't have anything from megefen hayayin? The answer is that, says the Gemara, that he, if he tries to take on a naziris that involves some of the restrictions, it includes all the restrictions. So that's what the Mishnah here says first. So Hareini Nazir min hachartzanim, or min hazagim, zagim are the skins of the grapes, umin hatiglachas, or from hair cutting, but just hair cutting, umin hatuma, or just tuma, meaning tumas mace. In all those cases, Hareiz a Nazir, he is a Nazir in full, v'chol diktuke naziros alav, and all the details of naziros are upon him. So now, that second part of the sentence seems a little bit superfluous. It could just say, Hareza Nazir, a Nazir is a Nazir. Why does it have to say, V'chol dikduke Naziros alav? All the rules and all the details of Naziros are upon him. The answer is because there are actually, as we're going to see in our Mishnah here, a total of three kinds of Nazir. The standard Nazir, which is the only Nazir referenced in the Pasuk, is the Nazir we've learned about so far. It's a Nazir who is a Nazir for a specific amount of time. He takes on those three categories of restrictions. They're really, as we said before, 10 mitzvahs. But three categories of restrictions. And we said it in the introduction, in case you're wondering. And that's the only one the Pasuk references, but it's for a fixed amount of time. There are two other categories of Nazirim that we have as Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, meaning tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. I'll call them, for the moment here, permanent Nazir type A and permanent Nazir type B, okay? It's called a Nazir Olam, permanent Nazir. I'll call that type A, if you will. Now, there's a type B, which is a special category of Nazir, who also is a Nazir for life. But after there was a certain person by the name of Shimshon, the famous Shimshon HaGibor, who is the story, the Psukim in Shoftim in the Book of Judges talks about him and explains the famous Samson and his life and exploits. I'll talk about that in a moment. So he was this type 2 lifetime Nazir. And after him, instead of calling them the boring type 1 and type 2, so to speak, it was called a Nazir or Nazir Shimshon. So the Samsonite Nazir, right? Nazir Shimshon. Although Nazir Shimshon is a category of itself, don't think that Shimshon himself innovated it. It was innovated, it came from Har Sinai as part of Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, but he made it famous, if you will, and it's now called after him. So, the Mishnah is going to talk about the two different sets of rules that apply to the Nazir Olam and the Nazir Shimshon. But the reason why the Mishnah here first said v'chol dikduke naziros alav, if a person tries to be a Nazir just from some like chartanim or zagim, all the rules of Nazir on him, means all the usual rules. In contrast to the Nazir Olam and the Nazir Shimshon, who have variant rules, basically some leniencies relative to their Naziris. So, here we're going to explore now those other two types. So, if a person says, like new paragraph if you will, Hareini k'Shimshon, I want to be like Shimshon. So what was Shimshon? As I mentioned, if you look there in the Book of Judges, starting from Perek Yud Gimel, we have the story of Shimshon. Now, the story is, in short, I'm telling you the bullet points here for the sake of the Mishnah, and not really for the sake of the Mishnah only. there was a couple named who couldn't have children. Manoach was the husband's name and his wife, who were visited by an angel from Hashem. She was visited first, actually, and the angel told the wife she will have a special son, but she has to ensure that he, even from while she's pregnant but going on, he will be a special Nazir, not able to drink wine, etc. And he had special gifts which enabled him to retaliate against and fight the Plishtim, the Philistines, who were really persecuting the Jews throughout the period of the Shoftim. So he was endowed with very special, extraordinary strength, and that enabled him to fight the Plishtim. One of his famous exploits that the Mishnah references is that there were five cities, Philistine cities, one of which was Gaza in English, and he uprooted the stone gates, the delasot, the delet, the stone gate to the city, right off its hinges, which is a sort of a Herculean act, a super strong act, which he did, indicative of his strength and the famous exploit of his. Now, he married this woman named Delilah in English, and Delilah was actually a Plishti herself, and she was like a spy, an agent for the Plishtim, and she got out of him his secret to his strength, which was his long hair. And after that, the Plishtim found out, they shaved his hair, they caught him, and they gouged his eyes out. And he sort of went down a very famous story where he brought down, as he was dying, he killed many Plishtim as well. Now, that's sort of the story of Shimshon in brief. So the Mishnah here says, if a person wants to become a Nazir Shimshon, and he says any of the following expressions, Hareini k'Shimshon, I want to be, behold, I am like Shimshon. Or Keben Manoach, Hareini, I'm like the Ben Manoach, the son of the Manoach, that was Shimshon's father. Or Kabal Delilah, like the Hareini Kabal Delilah, I'm like the husband of Delilah, the one who was Shimshon's wife. Or Kamisha Akar Delasos Aza, or I'm like the one who ripped out the gates in Aza. Or Kamisha Nikru Plishtim es einav, like the one who the Plishtim gouged his eyes out. In all those cases, Hareze Nazir Shimshon. This person is effected the Naziris type 2 of permanent Naziris called, that which came to be known, Nazir Shimshon. And we're going to explain in a few moments what that entails. But the point is it's a permanent status of a permanent Naziris. So the Mishnah now says, okay, we know there's something, another thing, halacha l'moshe sinai, called Nazir Olam, a permanent Nazir. So the Mishnah says, Ma bein Nazir Olam l'Nazir Shimshon. What is the difference between the Nazir Olam, the permanent Nazir, and Nazir Shimshon, this type 2 permanent Nazir? Now you'll note the Mishnah never mentioned Nazir Olam, and that's sort of objectionable. The Gemara ends up saying, again, Chasuri Mechzer, there's some missing words from the Mishnah, which have to be introduced. To get back to introduce the such a concept of a Nazir Olam. Okay, but fine. So what is the difference between these two categories of permanent Nazir? So the Mishnah says, Nazir Olam, if someone is a permanent Nazir, meaning in contrast to the Sukkim's version of like a Nazir for some fixed amount of time, so he has a special din, this is Allah Halom Shmi Sinai, for the Nazir Olam, not the Nazir Shimshon, that Hichbid Sa'aro, if his hair gets heavy, meaning he's never cutting his hair, so his hair is going to get long and weigh on him. So he has a special dispensation that if his hair gets heavy for him, mekel bata'ar. He's allowed with a ta'ar, with a blade, to lighten the load on his head. So Halacha L'moshe Mesinai tells us this can be at most done once per year. If his hair feels heavy on him, he's allowed to shorten it. He has to use a ta'ar. A ta'ar is a blade as opposed to, say, scissors. There's a machlokas according to Tosfos, it's just you can cut it shorter to take the weight off, but not to the scalp, if you will. Whereas the Rambam learns no such thing, you could cut it all the way down, presumably. At all events, he is allowed to cut his hair once a year to lighten his load, and that's something that's peculiar to the Nazir Olam, as opposed to a Nazir who is a Nazir for some fixed amount of time. But if the Nazir Olam does cut his hair, umevi shalosh behemos, he does something which is kind of counterintuitive. He brings three animals as korbanos. These are the three animals that are brought by a normal Nazir when he finishes his period of Naziris successfully. So our Nazir Olam will never finish his period of Naziris successfully because he's a Nazir Olam. It never ends for him. Nevertheless, if he does cut his hair, he brings those three korbanos as if he, as the Nazir does at the end of his Naziris. So those three animals, again, are a keves ola, a sheep that's an ola, holy burnt, a kivsal chatas, that's a female sheep that is boros chatas, is a sin offering, and then an eil shlamim, an eil is a ram, that means it's a sheep, male sheep, that's at least 13 months and a day old, and he brings that as a shlamim, like a peace offering, as part of the process that he must do, the nizir olam, after he cuts his hair. Vim nitma, but if he becomes tame for tumas mace, he exposed to a corpse, tuma, so then he is like any other nazir, and maybe karban tuma, he brings the karbanos that go part and parcel of becoming tame as a nazir, which are, first of all, he brings an asham, the guilt offering, that's the asham of the nazir, and he also brings those two birds, we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, one an ola and one a chatas, they're a pair, either a two bnei yona, baby pigeons, or two tor, a tor is a turtle dove. Okay, so the point is, the bottom line is, comparing a nazir olam to a regular nazir, he's allowed to cut his hair once every year with a blade if he wants to, and if he opts to do that, then he has to bring those three animals, the three behemoths, as korbanos. Now, in contrast, the nazir Shimshon, so he, hichbed saro, if his hair gets heavy on him because it grew long, too bad, eno mekel, he can't lighten his load, like Shimshon Agibor never cut his hair, it could never be cut. But v'im nitma, if he gets exposed to tumas meis, einu mevi korban tuma, he doesn't bring any korbanos from becoming tamei, not the asham, not the birds, and the reason why is because there's no such restriction. The nazir, Shimshon, has no restrictions whatsoever with respect to being exposed to corpse tumas. Really, the nazir Shimshon just says like kind of two out of three, if you will. So those are the two other types of nazirus that are permanent, and they are different than the ways it is described. Now, the Mishnah doesn't speak it out, but it's worth noting there is one other very big salient difference between the Nazir Olam and the Nazir Shimshon, and that is that a Nazir Shimshon can never do Hatara. Normally, when it comes to Nadarim, a person can go to a Mumcha, an expert Nadarim, or a Bezdin of three, and do Hataras Nadarim, and retroactively annul his Neder. Nazir is a subcategory of Nadarim, assuming they can find either a Pesach Harata, whatever legal mechanisms those are, to undo and annul a Nether. So that does exist when it comes to a Nazir Olam, but there's no such thing as Hataras Nadarim when it comes to Nazir Shimshon. If a person takes on to be Nazir Shimshon, then he's a Nazir Shimshon forever, and Hatara is not an option for him.